Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
Amen. The title of my message today is Working for the Harvest. And we don't like that word work. You know, much of Christendom, you know, exists, and people say, well, God just wants to make me happy. You heard that before? Well, where's that in the Bible? You know, people say, well, you know, it's not about work. We don't need to work because Jesus has done all the work for us. We just need to rest and receive what he's given to us. But that's not in the Bible either. Jesus told his disciples, and he gave us the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? It's called work. You know, I grew up in church, and they were always praying for revival. Oh, revival, revival, revival. Oh, revival, revival. We pray, yes, Lord, revival, and revival never happened. Some people are praying for revival, and revival never comes. And I get a little frustrated. Why is God like, you know, he's holding out revival? You know, we're saying, God, give us revival. No, no, I'm holding it back. You got to pray more. You better fast a little more. I'm not going to give it to you. And we kind of have this concept, oh, we're not doing enough. So there's no revival. And so as I began to study about revival, and I did a post this week on my Instagram, the word revival is not in the Bible. I got real quiet here. We hear a lot about revival. We talk a lot about revival, but the word revival is not in the Bible. What's in the Bible? The outpouring and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That on the day of Pentecost, he came, he said, I'm pouring out my spirit upon all flesh, the sons and daughters, the young men, the young women, and the old women. None of us want to be in the old category, but come on, the mature. Amen? I'll take that. You can keep the old part. I'm turning 50 this year. Come on. But come on. You should encourage me a little bit. Come on. But you know, it's staying young at heart, because when we're young with God, the anointing is there. You don't feel old. You don't feel, you're renewed like the eagles. Are you here? And so as we talk about revival, we realize revival's on there. Outpouring is there. But let me tell you, as we receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as we encounter God, it's not called to be an event. It's called to be a lifestyle. That we keep going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from increase to increase. God doesn't come and, oh, here's a little revival, and then pull himself back, and I'll see you in 30 years. Pray for a revival. No, as we receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. The Bible says living in the Spirit, fighting the fight of faith. Come on, occupying and conquering till he comes. This is what the Bible talks about. It's not just resting and, well, Jesus did it all. You know, if he wants to save people, he can do it. No, he told us to go. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to go. What's the point of the church? The purpose of the church is to enable you to be equipped to fulfill your fullest potential. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is to equip the saints. You say, well, I don't feel like a saint. Well, if you're saved, you're a saint. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you're a saint. You might not feel like it or look like it, but you are. Not because of who you are, but because of who Jesus is. But we're to equip the saints, what? To do the work of the ministry. We don't like that word work, but work is not a bad word. How do you really describe revival? What are we really talking about? Much of the church misses it. How do you spell revival? W-O-R-K. There you have it. You want revival? Start working. You want revival? Start sharing. You want revival? Go. You want the revival? Open your mouth. You want revival? Lay hands on somebody. You want revival? Get a passport and go to a missions trip. How is revival? We've been praying for Brazil, and God put Brazil in my heart several years ago. And end of the month, on the 27th, I'm going to Brazil, taking a team with us, and God's just been opening up doors. We've been praying. This week, we got an opportunity. We'll be speaking to 25,000 people on the last night there. Come on. It's exciting. It's not about the numbers, but it's about the people. Come on, every person is a soul. People are so hungry. God's opening up the doors. How does that come? Because I'm ready to go. We plan to go. Here are the dates. We didn't even have a meeting yet. We said, this God said to go. We're going to go. Where are we going? I don't know. We're going somewhere. And we start going because God spoke. And what happened? God lines everything up. We end up adding more days. People are still calling. We say, we'll have to come back again because I have a church. I can't move to Brazil. Amen. I need to come home. I'm called to other places, but we're going to come back again. Why? Because when we take the step towards it, we want God to bless us. And so we're waiting for the blessing and we don't give. But when you give, what happens? The promotion comes. You give, God starts moving. You give, God starts moving. Why? We've got to do the work. Seed time and harvest is work. Preaching the gospel is work. And so we need to understand that God wants us to move into what he's desiring to do. How do you get a move of God? How do you get revival? Start working with God. The Bible says in the book of Acts, it says, and the Holy Spirit worked with them. They were working, and the Holy Spirit worked with them. The Bible says they were working, and what? And Jesus was working with them. Come on, we want him to do the work, and then we want to get on. It doesn't work that way. We have to step out in faith. God is a motion-sensitive God. As we're moving in faith, as we're moving in obedience, he said to go. He didn't say wait. Right. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. Where's that? Well, wait on the Lord, and you'll mount up on wings of eagles. Don't wait on him when he told you to go. Well, I'm waiting to sow. He said, sow and you'll reap. Yeah. Come on. Don't wait. Well, I'm waiting on what ministry? Put your hand. Get a bulletin. Be an usher. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Where's Marvin? Amen. You know, all the ushers. Amen. Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. We wait our whole life. God's waiting on us. Amen. Are you here? Get into faith, get into what God's doing, and as we do it in response to his word, if you have a word, you don't need to wait. Now, I get there's timing, but even in timing, you can move. Don't be running when he's walking. But come on, don't be sitting in bed in your pajamas and thinking you're going to have a revival. Pastors, oh, God's going to bring revival. We're going to see a move of God in our city, but we never do anything. We never go anywhere. We never talk to anyone. It's not going to happen. Even some Christians, they say, well, if God wants them to be saved, God will save them. Where's that in the Bible? God says, go tell it on the mountain. Come on. We used to sing that song. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus. Come on, Dwayne, you should be giving me some. Come on. I told him this morning, Sophia was singing that song. I said, we need some black in that song. I was thinking of Ron Canole, and Sophia was singing that song this morning. He did a great job, but come on. We need to put some soul into that thing. Come on. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm from Atlanta. I know what I'm talking about. Come on. Put some, come on. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need some of that. Amen. Revival is not about just having goosebumps. Revival is not just believing that God's going to do it automatically. We talk about a great awakening. This is going to be a great awakening in America, and we're prophesying about the great awakening. How does a great awakening happen? When the church wakes up. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. It starts with the house of God. Well, God's going to judge. Well, God starts judging the house first. And we're seeing that all around the world. I prophesied last year about that. Said God's going to start judging ministries and things aren't been right because it's time to clean house, and we're seeing it. And I don't say that and pride and arrogance puts the fear of God in me. I repent of everything I've done and what I haven't done. Amen. Because we better have the fear of God in our life to walk right. None of us have arrived. Are you here? That's why we need accountability. That's a whole other message. But it doesn't happen automatically. God requires us to be workers in the harvest. Revival involves lots of work. Revival involves us as the church being activated into our God-given potential. We all have potential on the inside of us. Tell your neighbor, you got potential. Come on, tell someone behind you, say, you got real potential. Come on. But guess what? That potential's got to be activated. You all have a brain, but if you don't go to school, your potential is not realized. I used to study math and calculus. And all that. What is all that for? I never used it a day in my life. But what did it do? It taught me to think. It taught me to logic. It taught me to use, so now I can remember my messages and I can remember, you know, come on. People can't remember, they never read. I'm not even gonna go there this morning. Y'all aren't ready for that. We gotta use your potential. All of you have biceps and triceps. I'm not gonna go, okay, y'all. Yeah. Are you using your potential? Yeah. By reason of use, come on. Yeah. By pushing against resistance, what happens? You build up some muscle. It don't happen by just praying, Holy Ghost, shrink in Jesus' name. You got to burn some calories. You got to put some work into it. You want to be a Holy Ghost man, you got to pray in the Spirit. Sometimes we pray in the Spirit. Oh, shimmy, shimmy, shoo, shoo. How are you going to fight demons that way? Oh, I wake up with such oppression. Get up and, oh, shakabrande kamahande. You'll be scaring the devil out of your house and all your neighbor's house too. Rise up. You got faith on the inside of you in the church. Oh, we don't want to offend anybody. Come on. What do you do? We got good news. Isn't it good news? Who offend? Haven't you been to a good restaurant? Anyone? Come on. You guys are foodies out there. I know. I'm a foodie. When you go to a good restaurant, do you ever think, I don't want to tell Megan about the good restaurant. I might offend her. Because her Mexican restaurant just ain't no good. So I better not tell her about mine because she might get offended. Come on, good news. This is not offensive. Good news is something we should tell everybody. Go tell somebody that Jesus Christ has broken the power of sin and death. He's given us a purpose. He's given us a hope. He's given us a future. What? Why are we going to offend somebody with that? Yeah. The problem is we got a stigma in the church. We forgot we got the good news. We think we're telling people bad news. Oh, you need to give all your money away, be poor and be broke, and now you can't sleep in on Sunday. And you might have to serve. God forbid you run into one of those ushers. They might recruit you. Are you here? And City Heart, let's go to one of those big churches where you can sneak in late and sneak out early. You come to City Harvest Church, you got 20 people smiling at you. Come on. And we think, we make what is good bad, and what is bad good. Are you here? I'm not saying every big church is that way. Some of them grew big because they're friendly. But you know what I'm saying? We can hide. Are you here? We're trying to help God along. I better get in a new environment. You sow in the environment that you're watering and sowing. Come on.
Well, I'm looking for my husband. I haven't found my husband.
Well, why don't you try being nice to somebody and stop running away right after service? Ooh, that wasn't in 9 o'clock. Come on. Are you here? You got to sow. You've got to work. He who shows himself friendly has many friends. Are you here? As you're serving, come on, Ruth was not out looking. She wasn't on Tinder. She's out in the field serving God and singing and worshiping Jesus and honoring Naomi. And what happened? Her Boaz came along and was like, whoa. This is a woman who ain't just waiting for some rich man to come and rescue her. This is a woman that's serving God and on fire and loyal. And what happened? He took notice of her. And what happened? Come on. Let's get back to our word. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. When Jesus went about all the cities and villages, he was teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness. Don't say every sickness. He's healing every disease among the people. But what happened? He saw the multitude and he was moved in compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. What really was Jesus doing? He's out healing. He's out preaching. He's out doing the work of the ministry. He's out doing the work of his Father. Come on. He wasn't sitting on the throne room and just raising his scepter, kiss the ring. He's out working. They didn't recognize him because he came as a servant. Not only that, he said he was a slave to his Father. I do nothing unless I see my Father do it. I say nothing unless I hear him say it. I'm here to do the will of my Father. And we wonder, how can he be God? But he's fully submitted as the Son to his Father. He has all power, all authority, but he's submitted to his Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit is empowering him. And the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit working together in perfect unity. And what do we see? In this moment, he's feeling compelled, he's having compassion. Why? Because when he left heaven, he emptied himself of omnipresence. He couldn't be in every place at one time. He's now limited to a physical body. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit, and he's out praying for everybody. He's out healing, and he looks at the multitudes, and like you and I, sometimes we get tired in our physical bodies because the need is so great. And so what does he do? He then says to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. guys, look what I'm doing. And you're sitting here and you're like, oh man, the crusade's great. Pastor Jesus, you preached amazing. Wow, look at that miracle. That was powerful. Come on, let's go eat dinner. They were spectators at that point. But Jesus says, hey, the harvest is plentiful. What is he saying? I can't just do it alone, even though I'm God. There's such need that's out there. We need more workers. We need more laborers. We're coming into an evangelistic season. We're coming into Easter. We're coming into anniversary. It's a year where we always see phenomenal growth in our church. Every year since we've started, it's always bigger than Christmas. But let me ask you, if God adds 150 people to our church in the next month, who's going to lead their Connect group? Here I am, send Gwen, Lord. She can do more. Come on. Who's going to give them Bible study? Come on, we add another two services. Who's going to lead worship? Who's going to be with the children there? Because we have free childcare. Everyone loves that. Amen. Who's going to do all those things? And we sit here and we say we want revival. But what is God looking? He's looking for people because God's a good administrator. He's not going to give people if we can't handle the people. The harvest is plentiful. People need the Lord. We got the good news. Come on. And it's free. It's not cheap, but it's free. But what's the issue? It's the laborers. Who is willing to work in the harvest? Do we come to church? Well, what can the church do to me? Or what program do they have for me? Or what is in it for me? Hey, they got free coffee and donuts. Free childcare for 2 hours. Where can you get that? I mean, childcare is expensive. Come on. What is it for me? Or do we come and yes, we receive. Yes, our needs are met. Thank God he healed us. Thank God he delivered us. Thank God he's worked in our life. Thank God for the blessing that we have. But because we've received the blessing, we're willing to put our hand to the plow and say, I want to be a co-laborer with Jesus. Come on, I want to be a worker. It's not just about being a consumer. I want to be a producer. Now, I love the statement, and we use this for our nation. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? What if we turn around? Ask not what Jesus can do for you, but what can you do for Jesus? Yeah. Ask not what the church can do for you. What can you do for the church, for others, if we've been blessed and we've received to begin to sow into other people? How do you spell revival? We want revival, amen? We want souls to be saved. We want healing. We want to see people getting delivered. But guess what? When they get saved, we got baby Christians that need diapers to be changed. Sometimes they got areas in their life that stinketh. They don't know how to feed them. And we got to give them the milk of the word. We got to let them grow and give them the bread of the word. Then we can get them into a place where they can have the meat of the word. And then as Paul said, when the people should have been feeding others, they're still wanting milk. Because they didn't want to grow up. They didn't want to mature. Yeah. What is a mature Christian? I'm glad you asked. The Bible tells us the primary mission for us as believers is winning the lost. Amen. Why are you saved?
Well, I just saved so I can love Jesus.
No, that was the only point, you'd be in heaven right now. Get saved, all of us would disappear. I receive as my Lord and Savior, and we're in heaven. How many think you can love Jesus more in heaven and worship Jesus more in heaven with the angels? Yeah. Why are you on planet Earth? Because he left us here as seeds in the midst of darkness to be light in this world, to be salt that we begin to influence. Yeah. Rather than talking, we look at our world, oh my God, the world is so terrible. Things are spiraling down, education and all this nonsense that's going on. What's the problem? Because we're sleeping.
That's right.
Come on. We need to stand up and say, are you here?
Yeah.
And you can have your political thing or whatever you say, but come on, I make a stand. If I don't like something, you know, I heard all this news about what's happening in Florida with Disney, I cancel my Disney app.
Amen.
Amen. I'm more loyal to Jesus than Mickey Mouse, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Come on. And you're trying to undermine parents and take away the authority of parents and teach kids and brainwash them and try to change their biology when they're young kids confused? Nuh-uh, not on my watch. Not on my watch.
Oh, Pastor, don't get political.
I'm not being political. I'm being a Christian. I'm not against it. They need to fire their CEO and get a new one. It's an easy change. Come on, post that on Instagram. Yes, I said it. Please spell my name right. on. We need to stand up. I don't want to offend anybody. I'm offended. God gave me kids and gave me the spiritual authority over my house. You don't get to come in my house and tell me how to train my kids. Come on. They put a line up there telling me people are confused. We don't even know what a woman is. I wasn't planning to go here, but it feels good. Come on. Even my fifth grader knows what a woman is. Some of you are not sure. You're looking at me. What's a woman, Pastor? It's your biology and your chromosomes. Are you here? You're born and created in the image of God. Now, I'm not talking people got their euphoria and all their stuff going on, and I'm sensitive to that. We love people. We want to help people. People, there's confusion in this world. We're not against anybody. But you can't redefine what the Creator in 1,000 years of science and history said, so I don't even know anymore. Come on. So I feel like a woman today. Well, I'm a woman. No, you're a man. Your chromosomes are a man. If they bury you in the ground and dig you up 1,000 years from now, they can do a DNA test and say, that was a man. Yeah. Same thing for a woman. So where do we draw the line? Well, I feel like a dog today. So are you a dog? Who let the dogs out? Come on, where do we draw the line? You can't be doing that and to... Come on, we need to stop the insanity. The whole world's laughing at like, what in the world? Come on, even the Buddhists don't believe that. Even the Muslims don't believe that. We need to get back to the basic and again have sensitive people are struggling. No wonder there's confusion out there. We're teaching nonsense. Are you here? We need to teach the Bible and teach the biblical standard and begin to help people to get back to what God has said. He's the creator. The creator knows what creation's called to be. Come on. And help people and love them. And we're not anybody. If you're gay or you're trans or you're whatever, God bless you. We love you. Come on. God's desire is not to make everyone a heterosexual. There's heterosexuals out there sinning also. It's to make us like Jesus. To take on a stature, his nature, and come in the purpose of God. And we need to win the lost. People are lost. Come on. Yeah. Hello. Yeah. We got some lost people out there. I think they're more lost today than they've ever been lost. Right. It's almost like we have a cycle of back to the 60s and the 70s of just lawlessness and craziness coming on. But come on, there was the Jesus people movement that began to bring those people back to the Lord. And they went into the beaches and went into highways and byways and they began to encounter Jesus and began to come back. Come on, that's what we need, the church to go out and begin to love and not condemn. And come on, begin to bring people into encounter with Jesus. And they can keep their long hair. They can dress the way they want. We're not trying to conform people to an image of what we say it looks like. Come on, you got to have the Pentecostal bun or you're not spiritual. That's not what we're doing. But as we come into encounter with Jesus, God starts moving our life. He helps me to be a better husband, my wife to be a better wife, helps our kids to be better kids, helps us to be better citizens. Our primary mission for believers is winning the lost. Paul says here in Acts 20 and verse 24, you still love me? The Bible says this. Paul says the most important thing, say the most important. What's the most important thing? He says that I complete my mission. The work that the Lord Jesus gave to me to tell people the good news about God's grace. Someone say good news. We need to remind us that we've got the good news. It's not about the do's and the don'ts. It's about the good news. We're not trying to teach a law to people. The law don't work. That's why he did away with the law. But we come to Jesus and come on. What is the gospel? We love God. Out of that love, we love people. It's like the cross, the horizontal, the vertical, loving God, loving people. And as we do that, we come into the abundant life that he's given us. No other life. Come on. It flows out of a love for God. And out of that love, a love for people. Because we love God, we can love ourselves. Because we receive his love, that love pulls out of people. I don't know about you. You see the hardest man. You see, man, how you doing? And they don't even want to shake your hand, you know. But come on, they get in touch with Jesus. Afterwards, they're hugging people, kissing their head. Like, what happened to that person? They got into the love of Jesus. It starts unlocking us. Some people, I'm a hugger, you know, so you get close to me, I'm going to hug you. I'm sorry. Apologize now. COVID's hard because you can't hug. You know, people, you got to be careful. But I'm, you know, we can hug with our masks. And I'm like, I'm a hugger. But guess what? I get around people who don't like to hug, and now they're huggers. Come on. Come on. I'm a secure man. I'm married with 3 children. I'm not worried about hugging another man. I'll give you a brotherly kiss, too. Come on. Who defines that? Are you here? Judas walked up to Jesus and kissed him on his cheek. Come on. He wasn't insecure in his sexuality. Are you here? We let the world define on what we can do. No, better be careful. People might think this, people think like that. No, we need to position what's pure, what's holy, what's right. Come on. And I might even kiss my wife if you see me. Amen. Are you here? Present the gospel of what we do. It's the good news. We can be free in God. We can love wholeheartedly, amen, and not get into bondage. He came to set us free. Amen. He came to give us life abundantly. What must we do is we want to see our world change. We want to preach the good news. We want to win the lost. 3 things are required. Number 1, we must make soul winning our priority. Someone say priority. Paul said this, it's the most important thing. That's called priority. What's the most important thing? Where do we spend our time? Where do we spend our money? What are we committed to? That's our priority. Are you here? We've got to focus on sharing the good news and make it a priority. There's so many things that come to distract us, and it's not necessarily bad things. We have our careers. We have our family. We've got all these things going on that we're doing, and there's nothing wrong. Those things aren't bad, but what does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. What? To be in right standing with God, to walk in obedience to his word. And what does it say? And all these things that you have need of will be added to you. So we trust God as we put his kingdom as a priority. What's going to happen? He's going to prosper our career. Our children are going to prosper. We're going to be blessed as we're building God's house, as we're building his kingdom. Come on, he's going to take care of our business. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's true. I've got testimony upon testimony. I've seen it in my life and the lives of others. God is not a God that he lied. Put God first. Well, if I serve God too much, I might get offended. No. This week we had an award ceremony. I wasn't able to be there. Stephen went to represent my team in real estate. And one of the mentees that I had and helped, she's doing real well in her business, and she got an award. And she got up there. She was so nervous. She said, I just want to thank the pastor realtor for helping me. So now that's who. I'm the pastor realtor. And when I go to work, people come in my office all the time when they need help. Why? Because I have a reputation. I help people. I have a reputation. I'm kind. I have a reputation, you know, and I'm busy. But what? In the midst of that, a culture of just being kind and nice to people and helping people. Come on. Yeah. What happens? You get branded as a person who has good news, as a person who's kind, as a person. Come on, you need some help. I'll go talk to Adam. He'll pray for you. Well, I'm not a Christian. He don't care. He'll pray for you anyway. Amen. Come on. And he prayed for me. I wasn't even saved. And God answered my prayer. I'm still working out. Was it God or did it just happen? It was a coincidence. But what do we do? We're sowing seeds. We're watering seeds. And what happened? God gives the increase. Come on, give the Lord a big shout. Amen. Luke 9 and verse 62 says this. Anyone, say anyone. Who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom. Is he Savior? Is he Lord? If we're not letting him determine what's priority, we're Lord. Got real quiet here this morning. And we all struggle with that, but are we able to trust him? As we make him Lord, as we live our life according to the word of God, as we build his house, as we're about his business, that God is going to make it up to us. That's the fruit and the maturity of a believer. It's priority. Someone say priority. Number 2, we've got to, if we want to see the harvest, we've got to understand our purpose. Paul's idea of God's purpose is not that just we have rest and recreation. I ain't get no amens on that. Come on. The God in heaven, he's the one who invented the lazy boy chair. Come on. Nothing wrong with rest. He gives rest. He said his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Are you here? It's time to rest. The word Selah is in the Bible. Take a pause from it. But what I want to say, we get this thing that think it's Jesus just exists. And we say this. We even preach it. People say, Jesus just exists to make me happy. Wow. You don't even know what makes you happy. Come on. It changes over time. And we think Jesus, it's just about us. Anything that has to do with work, oh, get behind me, Satan. Jesus done it all at the cross. I don't need to work. I just need to rest. That's not the wrong concept. What's our purpose? Our purpose drives us. Our purpose, I get tired. Come on, I work every day. You ask my wife, I sleep very well at night. It don't take me long to sleep. I give her a kiss, good night, baby, and I am out. Come on. I rest well. He gives his beloved sweet sleep. I got that one down. Amen. But also when you work hard, when you're fulfilled and you've done what you're called to do, there's a peace and you sleep well at night. Some people are always worrying. Why? Because they didn't work that day. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. And they're all, oh, I need to do that. I didn't buy that at the grocery store. I didn't do my grocery. Oh, I got to change my oil. And they're tormented all day, all night long about stuff they didn't do. Talk to people. Why can't you sleep? What do you think? Oh, my mind just won't shut up. Why? Because your things to-do list is getting longer and you're afraid you're going to forget something. Why not write the things down, offload it, empty your mind and rest and put it into your calendar and come on, work towards the things you need to do. And so you know it's done. I'm never finished. It's called job security. Come on. You're never done, but I'm done for that day. Because I planned out and I'm living life with purpose, it brings a peace. Amen? People, I just want to retire. Living for retire. I can't wait till I'm 65 or 62. I can just retire and do what? Come on, sit in your chair all day? Have no purpose? Most people who do that, they say within 5 years, they usually die. You want to live long, stay in purpose. I'm not saying slow down. You don't have to work as hard. You can eat the fruit and enjoy your grandchildren. Come on. Enjoy the fruit. Come on. I love that I have sons and daughters and I can enjoy the fruit of pouring into people and that kind of thing. But don't lose your purpose. Because if you lose your purpose, what's the purpose or the point of life? Are you here? Paul said his purpose was to tell people the good news of God's grace. Come on, that's the primary purpose that we have as believers. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, you learning something?
Yes.
It says, through Christ, God has made peace between us and himself. And he gave us the work. Someone said the work.
Work.
Of what? Of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. Amen. What's our call as a believer? You're a preacher. Well, say, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not an evangelist. Call the evangelist. I want my family saved. Who are you going to call? The evangelist. No, the Bible says do the work of an evangelist.
Yes.
What does that mean? Share your testimony. You don't have to preach a 4-point sermon. Just tell your testimony about the goodness of God, the grace, what he's done in your life. Tell everybody. Come on. We have no problem telling someone about a good restaurant, but we don't want to tell people the testimony of his goodness, of his faithfulness in our life. We need to get rid of that wrong thinking. Share with somebody. We went yesterday to our neighbor's house and they were having a birthday party, and honestly, I didn't feel like going. Came back and said, babe, maybe you should just go. You know, she's a woman, she invited you. She's like, no, you need to go. Get behind me. I went, okay, amen. So we went over there, and we went there. And when we got there, you know, her husband was there, the lady's husband, and I met him and went out and started talking to him and talking about his house. And my yard, started connecting with him on a deeper level. Some of our other neighbors had been there. They were sharing how their car got broken into. And I was like, I'm so sorry about that. And was beginning to, you know, encourage them. And then another lady was like, I'm so fearful now my husband leaves and I lock my door and I'm so afraid. And people are dealing with fear and anxiety. And I just started speaking life. I just started blessing. I just started getting... people kept talking to me, and before long, I'm preaching without scriptures. Come on. Sharing encouragement, sharing life, sharing, you know, oh, your wife, you guys are so nice. It's not me, it's Jesus. I wanted to be home having my afternoon nap. Come on. But there's a place for that. And we exchange numbers. And I text and say, it was so nice to meet you. And this morning, all the texts, oh, it was great meeting your wife. We got to get together again. And we're like, yeah, once our house, our kitchen's done, come over. And we're going to have people over. And what are we doing? leading by example. Why? I'm believing my neighborhood's going to get saved. Come on, you want good neighbors? Get them saved. Are you here? Want good kids in the neighborhood? Do that. We want to stand up and like, how can we bring, you know, our neighborhood? Crime's up everywhere because people are desperate. I can tell you some stories, Gwen, right? I won't. But people, stuff's happening in Orange County that was never happened before. But what are we called to do? We're called to pray. We're called to love. We're called to share. Oh, those kids are delinquents. Go and introduce your kids to their kids in a controlled environment and get them to get some new friends. They're hurting and they're acting out. We need to come with the love of God. That's our purpose. John 17, verse 18 in the Message translation, it says, in the same way that you gave me, Jesus is speaking, a mission in the world. He's talking to the Father. He said, I give them a mission in this world. Come on, what's our mission? Is Jesus laid down his life and he preached the gospel, the good news, and he went about doing good and healing and blessing. Come on, that's what our mission is. That's our purpose as a Christian. You should be more excited about that. Come on. That was his prayer for you and for me. So the Great Commission, what's it in its simplest form? It's basically go and tell somebody. Go and tell somebody. Tell them the good news. Tell them who Jesus is. Tell them what he's done for you. Share his love. Share his hope. Share his peace. When Jesus told his disciples to go, what did he say? Let your peace come upon them. Speak peace upon the house. If they don't receive you, take your peace back. Come on. That's what he said. Dust your feet. But when you go, bless that their hearts would be open. We've got to have priority. We've got to have purpose. And finally, number three, we've got to prevail. Someone say prevail. Paul said, the most important thing is that I complete my mission. Let's not come to the place, and we've all had it done. Pastor Susan shared powerfully a few years back how she had someone that died that she didn't share the gospel with. And it broke her heart, and she was, God, I never want this to happen again. And to this day, we do the best of our ability. No one's promised another day. We need to prevail. What is soul winning? It's hard work. Missions is hard work. Marvin's telling me I got to wear a suit, and it's 85 degrees on the equator. I didn't sign up for that, but we have Jehovah Sneaky. Come on, he tricks us. Amen. Go and puts it in our heart. Are you here? That was a joke. Come on. But what's the point? Can we go and be a little inconvenient to see multitudes healed and saved because we're not in our five-star environment in America? Where the food is not the same? The pillow's not as comfortable? The air conditioning doesn't blow the way that it blows here? You got a rickety old fan that keeps you up at night. But for the sake of the gospel, that I might win one, there's a tenacity. Are we willing to pray? We had a powerful prayer meeting yesterday. I know that some people, we got to work. We can't always beat everything. But are we willing to pray? Or, oh, I failed. Jesus loves me. He wants me to sleep in today. Are we willing to inconvenience? You don't have to do it, but are you willing to pray? You don't have to give, but are you willing to sow? Because it costs money. It ain't cheap to get to Brazil. Are you here? It costs money to do what we're called to do. And we go there to bless. We go there expecting nothing. That's what Jesus said to do. And we're paying our own way. People are shocked. How much do you want? What do you mean? Just buy me dinner. I'll be fine. If you want to sow back into what God's doing and the anointing is on our life, fine. But God will do it. We're not there to take from you. We're there to bless. But I guess what? When you bless, you always get more blessed. As you give, it will always be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. That's the God we serve. If someone asks for your shirt, give them two. They ask you to run a mile, run 2 miles. That's what the Bible says. And God will make it up to you. But sometimes that's hard work, building bridges, dealing with people that it's difficult, it's uncomfortable at sometimes. Our flesh doesn't like it, but this is the gospel. John 5, verse 17, Jesus answered them and said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. So the Father's working, Jesus said he's working, and we're saying we don't have to work? Come on, anybody's got children, my children tell me, Dad and Mom, I'm glad you work, but I'm not working. I'm like, oh, really? Come on, we sons and daughters, we should have the DNA of our Father. He's working. Jesus is working. And guess what? We need to be working and occupying until he comes. Come on. Is there still one person that needs Jesus? Our church isn't big enough. We need to be pouring into others. Mark 6 and verse 30, the Bible says, are you learning something? Yes. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both that they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Someone say revival. Revival. How do you spell revival? Work. They're going out and people and Jesus getting known everywhere and the disciples are there. And guess what? Everyone's coming desperate for healing, desperate for life. The doctor can't help us. You can help us. We went for counseling. It ain't working. My wife needs some help. My husband needs the help. He's got a demon. Come on. And what do? There's nonstop. They had to get away. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. That's scriptural. Amen. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and they ran on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude, but he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Come on, we need to be moved with the people. We're in the midst of building a core. God spoke to us a word. He said, I'm going to build this church slow and steady, but I'm going to build a strong foundation. It's going to be a place that we're equipped. Cindy Jacob prophesied and said, you're going to have to take a number to prophesy because people are going to be equipped in the power of the Holy Spirit. What is that for? So we can prophesy over ourselves all day long? What is it for? So that we're equipped when the lost can come in. Come on, it's not just me and Pastor Susan. It's just not our connect group leaders. It's just not our leadership team. But everybody is equipped to do the work of the ministry. Everybody is flowing the anointing of the house. Everybody is empowered. And people will come. The nations will come. But are we ready? Are we willing? Are we laborers in the harvest field? They couldn't even eat and rest. Because of the move of God. What about Paul? Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. He said, are they ministers of Christ? You want to be a minister for Christ? All of us are ministers. Everyone's a minister. Doesn't mean you're a fivefold minister, but we're all a minister. We're all called to do the ministry. It's the believer's ministry. Are you a believer? Yes. Then you have a work to do. Are you a believer? Then you have a ministry. He says, I speak as a fool. I'm more, and labor is more abundant. And stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, and deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with the rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils, in waters, in robbers, in my perils of my own countrymen, in perils with the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren. And weariness and toil, and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst, and fasting often, and cold and nakedness, besides all these other things, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern from the church. Someone say, work. Come on, pray. We pray because of Paul. We don't have to go through all those things. But thank God he was willing to put his hand to the plow. Thank God he was willing to be inconvenienced. Thank God he didn't just sit in his little room and just believe for the blessing of God for his own life. But he went into the place and he began to go into the darkest place. But God gave him the revelation that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. Come on, as we go forth in power. We go forth with the grace of God. And we can overcome. Some of you are here, says the Lord, and you're wanting more. Some of you are wanting a greater anointing. You're wanting a greater authority, but you're not using what I have given you, says the Spirit of God. And I have said that you must be faithful in the little things, or I will not give you more. For there are those that have come, and that consumer spirit has come over my house, says the Spirit of the Lord. But I am looking for those that will be faithful with what they have. And you will begin to see those that have not had much, says the Lord, but they have been faithful. And I will begin to grant them much. Because they're willing to put their hand to the plow. They're willing to come and begin to do the things that I've said. For I have put things on people's heart. I've asked them to inconvenience themselves. I've asked them to even go to the nations. I've asked them to be faithful in what belongs to another, says the Lord. But the spirit of the world has come. And pride and arrogance has come. And it's saturated and brought mixture to my house, says the Spirit of the Lord. And only in that which is glamorous has it been said that I am in. Only in that which can be seen by others. Only in that which they have seen the glory of others without seeing the price that they paid. But I'm looking for those that will pay the price, says the Spirit of the Lord. I'm looking for those that will shake off religion, that will humble themselves once again. For some have said, well, I have humbled myself. I have served. I have sown my time. Will you not do it again, says the Lord? Will you not sow? Will you not give? Will you not go? Will you not humble yourself? For have I not said to be the greatest, you must be the servant of all, that the way to promotion is the way of humility and submission, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm sifting my house. I'm sifting the hearts of men, and those that have hardened their heart and have not repented, I will remove, says the Spirit of the Lord. For I come with grace, I come with mercy, but I am God and I am the head of my house, says the Spirit of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom and there's liberty. Where there's pride and there's ambition, I cannot move, I cannot flow, for I can only flow through the yielded heart, says the Spirit of the Lord. And there's a wave of repentance that's coming upon my house. Just like in the days of the revival of Evan Roberts, where people began to fall on their knees and they began to pray, I will come with a wave of repentance. I will come and I will move hearts towards me, says the Spirit of the Lord. I'm sifting and I'm searching, and even those that hear this day, says the Lord, many of you, you're on the verge of destruction. Because out of your religiosity, you've taken my words and twisted them and added your ambition to them. And I come as a father. I come to warn. I come to see the fear of the Lord restored. That as you come to that place of repentance, as you humble yourself, as you get rid of the unclean things, says the Spirit of the Lord. As you get rid of the form and you come back to the power, says the Lord, I'll begin to shift things and destruction will be avoided and blessing will begin to flow, says the Spirit of the Lord. For I will have a holy people. I will have a people whose hearts are the heart of my Son that desire to do my will, to see my kingdom come and my will be done. And for such, says the Spirit of the Lord, watch and see what I will do. For I'll even take the foolish things of this world, even the broken, the addicts that have come, even the eunuchs that have come and they've destroyed themselves. Watch and see what I'm doing, says the Lord. For I'm moving among the trans, says the Lord. Ha! And I will cause them to come up even as the eunuchs of the day, as they begin to overflow Jezebel. They will begin to overflow and they will begin to tear down that Jezebelic spirit that's been operating, says the Spirit of the Lord. For I will have my agenda, I will have my way, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm moving to bring healing to the brokenness. For the brokenness, says the Lord, they've come to the house of God and all they've heard is that which I am against. But they will hear what I am for, says the Lord. They will hear the love of their Father, and they will come and they will begin to see their brokenness restored, says the Spirit of the Lord. And even with the sting of their sin and with the sting and the residue, I will use it as a testimony of my grace, of my goodness. For there's been the activists that have risen up in the realm of the natural, says the Lord. But I'm bringing those who would say, who would have my cause? Who would be an activist for me? Who would begin to stand and begin to speak? Not with anger, not with religion, but speak with wisdom. Speak with revelation to begin to move the hearts of men, says the Spirit of the Lord. I'm raising up those that will be radical for me, says the Lord. Those that will celebrate holiness, those that will celebrate sacrifice, knowing that as they place their lives on the altar, that my fire and my glory will be revealed, says the Spirit of God. Come on, stand on your feet, begin to talk to the Lord.